Well, good afternoon or good evening or whenever you decide to listen to the second audio on the second day of Christmas. In yesterday's second part audio, we read from the opening lines of Matthew. Actually, we didn't really read it because it's just a bunch of names and begats, but we mentioned the fact that Matthew opens up his gospel with a detailed genealogy, and there are so many genealogies in the Bible. We took that as evidence that the Jews were very careful and very concerned with an accurate historical chronology of the Jewish people and leading up to Jesus. The Jews were concerned about the history of God's creation and of the people that God created. And this is very different from other religions which do not have a view of history that we find in the Bible. And that's because they're not concerned with the history of the creation because they believe that the creation, the created order, is basically an illusion. So there's no point in having an accurate chronology of an illusion. Luke has the same kind of concern. He has a genealogy also, but in this audio, we're going to look at the way Luke and John open up their Gospels, their accounts of the life of Christ. We'll start with Luke in chapter 1, the first four verses. Starting in verse 1, Luke says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Now, just a note here, I'm reading from the King James Version, and that's because I'm afraid that if I read a whole lot from some of these other versions, I'll have an army of lawyers show up at my door because these other modern translations, although sometimes a little bit easier to read and understand, they're all copyrighted. So anyway, Luke mentions the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And that's key because, as we mentioned before, legal scholars like Simon Greenleaf, co-founder of the Harvard Law School and the world's leading expert on the laws of evidence in courts of law during the century in which Harvard Law School flourished, made a point of saying that Luke's gospel and the other gospels contain eyewitness testimony from credible witnesses, and if we brought this into a court of law, we would have to conclude that the resurrection of Jesus was a historical fact. So that's important that we see from Luke, his opening chapters, and from the genealogy in Matthew, that we're dealing with a historical chronology, a historical account that's just as reliable as anything you could read from the Associated Press or the New York Times reporter in Israel. But now we turn to the opening lines of John, which are very different from Matthew and Luke. It's John's gospel that really clues us in on why Christmas is the most important event in the history of the human race. So let's read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting right at the very beginning of the gospel, where John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So if I might pause and comment there, everything was made by the Word, and we're talking about Jesus here. There was nothing that was made that was not made by Jesus, which I think means that Jesus was not made in the sense that anything else in the creation was made. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, have a different interpretation of the first verse where it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But it seems like there's an army of Greek scholars who think the Jehovah's Witnesses have messed it up by saying the Word was a God. So I'm going to go with the scholars on this one. What is a God, anyway? Isn't there only one true God? Now, it's true that in some places in the Bible, and John actually records a discussion about one of these places, some human beings are called gods because they're civil magistrates. But I think what we'll see in John's gospel that we read today and throughout the rest of his gospel, but we won't be reading here during the 12 days of Christmas, is that Jesus is far more than just a civil magistrate, a prefect, a Caesar, or something like that. And I think it's offensive to speak of Jesus as a God. It doesn't seem like John would agree with that in that translation of his words. We'll continue in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And you might recall that John in chapter 3, verse 16, is the gospel writer who talks about the need to be born again. So here's an allusion to that idea of being born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Then verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that takes us back to that opening line. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And that's Christmas, and that's why Christmas is the most profound and significant event in the history of the human race. So then John continues in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So John says Jesus was born after John the Baptist, but he is preferred before me because he was before me. That's a kind of a profound statement that the guy who was born after John was actually before John. Well, that's because in the beginning he was with God and was God and then became flesh. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So something different there between Jesus, the only begotten Son, and any other man. So then John talks about how the Pharisees came and questioned him. And then in verse 25, he says, they asked John the Baptist and said unto him, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you who you know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And then John says, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John the Baptist was baptizing. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, now, how could an ordinary man take away the sin of the entire world? Well, verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwelleth thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. So there, as I claimed earlier, that the word Christ means Messiah, here you have it clearly stated. Verse 42, And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou believest? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So that's at times perplexing, if it's the first time you're reading through it. But one thing is clear, something really profound is happening, and it makes Christmas the most important event in the history of the human race. And I'd like to thank you for joining me to read through these Bible texts at a time when we're not being drowned out by songs of jingle bells and Santa's sleigh. Now, I'd like to remind you that we have a Facebook group for the 12 Days of Christmas, and if you have questions or comments about our readings here on the 12 Days of Christmas, be sure to post something on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, and I found out that some of you who are interested in the 12 Days of Christmas are not on Facebook, and that's okay, I've set up a blog, and I'll put links on the pages, the download pages, so that if you'd like to post some comments or ask questions on the blog, you can do that even if you're not part of Facebook. And the reason I emphasize that is because of the verses we already read from Proverbs, talking about the value of iron sharpening iron, and from Acts 17, the value of searching the scriptures every day to find out if these things are true. I guess one of the gifts I bring in the spirit of the 12 Days of Christmas and that song, the popular song with all the gifts on the 12 Days of Christmas, I guess the gift I would like to give to you is an answer to your question. I have a large library. I've done a lot of research on some of these subjects, and if you have questions, that would be my gift, is to help find answers for you. So let's have a conversation. Let's do the Berean thing, search through scriptures, find out if what we're thinking here is true. Let's sharpen each other, as the Proverbs say, and I think that'll be the best way to honor this remarkable event when the Word, who was in the beginning with God and was God, became flesh. So thanks for listening. Please post comments or questions, and I will see you tomorrow on the third day of Christmas.